end of these epistles, so many of the things are salutations and greetings and instructions that don't necessarily pertain specifically unto us. And you know, sometimes Paul is telling somebody hello, and you let so and so know that I'm thinking about them, and I'll come see you soon, and that kind of stuff. It's not of great spiritual significance many times to us individually. But tucked in the middle of all of this, in verse number 9 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, is a tremendous verse, a verse of great lesson unto us that we can find some great truths from that'll help us this morning from 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16, verse number 9. If you're able and willing to stand with us, we'll reverence the reading of God's Word. Only read one verse this morning. But if you'll hold your Bibles open and follow along with us and stay with us in that verse, maybe make some notes in the margin of your Bible or on your pieces of paper or notebook that you keep with you. Brother Mays Jackson said, get you a pencil and write some things down, and it'd do us well to do that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says these words, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Seems like a very simple verse, but I want you to pay close attention to it. My great granddaddy used to say, pay close attention to it. In verse number 9, the Scripture said, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians from Ephesus on his third missionary journey, expresses his desire to see the Corinthian converts again and to spend some significant time with them in the earlier verses of this passage of Scripture. He said he'd like to come unto them. Matter of fact, he said that, "I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit," in verse number 7. It's his desire when the time comes to not only go to Corinth again, but when he gets there to spend a great deal of time with them and to fellowship with them for many days and to share with them some things from God that the Lord has helped him with. But he said, "I'll not be able to do this now." He said, "I'll not see you now, by the way." But in verse 8 he said that he would tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. In verse 9 he gives us the reason for this when he said, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." And so he has expressed his desire to see them and to spend significant time with them, but he would have to wait until God was through with him in Ephesus, where he would tarry until Pentecost. For God, he said, had opened for him a great and effectual door in the Word there. I want to preach if the Lord will help me this morning on a great door is open. A great door is open. Paul said, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to open the door. Amen. The opened door speaks of an opportunity awaiting that needs to be seized upon. God had opened the door to Paul to minister in Ephesus. And my friend, we find in his Bible how that we know that God knows how to open the door. In Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 15, it says that he opened a door of hope. I'm glad I know something about that door this morning. Amen. The Bible said in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27 that he opened a door of faith. I'm thankful I know about that door this morning. And to Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, being a man of God, I appreciate this verse. Paul said the Lord opened a door of utterance. The Lord knows how to give us the words to say at the right time and in the right place and in the right spirit and in the right manner. He'll open a door of utterance. At Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 8, he told that church, said, "My friend, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." I appreciate that verse
When God opens the door, no man can shut it. I'll come back to that in more in just a moment. That the Apostle Paul said, even though the door was open, that there was many adversaries, that thank God no man can close the door. Amen. He may oppose you, but he can't close the door. If God's opened it, no man can shut it. And in John chapter 10 and verse 7, and again in verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm glad that he is, friend. He knows how to open the door. You may think the world's closing in on you, and there is no way, but I'm glad he makes a way where there's not a way. He'll open a door where you didn't think there was a door. Somebody says, sound like a hidden passageway. When you're walking by sight and not by faith, it is a hidden passageway. But when he opens the door of faith, my friend, he'll show you the open door, and no man can close it. Whatever it was that he told Noah to build the ark, and gave him instructions on how to build it, how to make it, how to build the door, when it was done, the Bible said, God closed the door. He closed it and nobody could open it. And then when they hit land, God opened the door. And when he opened it, no man could close it. I'm glad God controls the door this morning. He's given Paul an open door, an opportunity in the ministry, a place to serve God with the liberty of the Holy Ghost. I wonder this morning, has he done that for you? Has he given you an open door? Has he given you an opportunity to serve him? Has he given you a place where you could serve him under the liberty of the Holy Ghost? And then, friend, it was up to Paul to use the door he had been given, to go through the door, the opportunity, to seize upon this opportunity that God had placed in his path. My friend, I could say I'm preaching this morning to the saints of God, on, come on in. That door is open. Amen. God has given us the opportunity to serve him, to live for him, to walk with him, to be a blessing unto others. He's given us a place to serve, the power to serve. And my friend, hallelujah. And we are to walk through that door. Come on in. The door is open. Oh, bless the Lord, a great door is open, amen. And so it was up to Paul then to use the door. I want to say, friend, God creates the door. God opens the door. And it's up to us to go through the door, amen. That's exactly right. So let me give you three things and a few things about these three things. And I'll be done this morning. First of all, notice the description of the door. The description of the door, the apostle Paul said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And notice the prospect of the door. He said, it's a great door. It's a great door. Thank God. It's great in its size and it's great in its significance. The work of God, friend, is a great work in size. It is a large work. It is a heavy work. It's a laborious work. But it's also great in its significance. It's great in its purpose. It means something, amen. The work of God is not a labor without purpose. It's not a labor without profit. It's not a labor without reward. But thank God it's great, my friend, in its size and its significance. It is a great work. It is a high calling. It is a sizable responsibility. It is a significant labor. It is a meaningful work. Amen. What goes on, friend, around here and in this church on Sunday? What happens in these little Sunday school classes? Well, they got the little cardboard cutout figures. And these young'uns are telling me how Jesus went to the cross and at the end of the tomb, how he came up on resurrection sit on the side of the tomb. Hey, Caitlin, tell her the story. And then my fellow Alex reached over there and put the angel up on top of the tomb. Said that's where he belongs. He told him that Jesus was alive. They went in, and what did they find? Nothing but napkins and grave cloths. I tell you what's going on in these Sunday school classes. It's more important this morning than what's happening in the strategy sessions and mega corporations. We're doing the Lord's work today. He's provided an open door. How we deal with the prospect of eternity. It is a great door.
It's sizable, friend. It's sizable and it's significant. The prospect of this door. Hey, friend, the prospects. The possibilities. The magnitude of this door. That doesn't just have to do with today. It has to do with tomorrow. It has not just to do with this generation, but generations that are to come. And the promises unto you, Acts 2:39. And to your children, and to them which are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm telling you that for the prospect of this door is an eternal prospect. The possibilities are out of this world. He's given us an open door. Come on in, church. The door is open. Amen. It's time to get up and about the Father's business. The description of the door, it's prospect. And notice concerning the description of the door, it's production. Amen. The production of the door. Notice he said here, "Look for a great door and effectual is opened unto me." Not just a great door, but an effectual door. That term effectual means producing an effect, adapted to success, presenting the opportunity for great effect. Did you know what you do for God presents an opportunity for a great effect? You say, "What I do is just small." It might be small. The dynamite, as my papa calls it, is small, but it blows up big. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's the way serving God is. It may seem small, but when God puts power in it, when He puts a charge in it, friend, it'll have a big effect. I mean, hey, it may be one of your Sunday school teachers. I teach one of these little young'uns. Having witnesses to our next pastor. Amen. That's raising up, my friend. Your mama may be bouncing on your knees. My friend, some person who witnesses somebody who'll be the next great evangelist. How you may be. You may be raising your preacher's wife. How one of these days. Amen. You don't know what you hold in your hands. Your place, your role, it may seem small, but this door is great. It is effectual. It has opportunity. Come on in. The door is open.
Amen.
Amen. There was a great opportunity for the preaching of the gospel. Notice 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, if you want to flip one page, probably in your Bible, chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, and in verse number 12, Paul said concerning again, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the Christ gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord." Isn't that a blessing? Paul said in one place, it is open in Ephesus now in chapter 2. In verse 12, it was opened in Troas. Isn't that a blessing, Hal? That God opens the doors, and if you'll follow Him, He'll show you the right place to be at the right time. You remember in the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas were on their journeys and seeking the right place to go. And Paul said he had a desire to go into one city, had a desire to go into another city, but couldn't get liberty of the Lord. And in the midst of the night, he saw in a vision or a dream a man of Macedonia and saying, "Come, help us." Macedonia is that region where Ephesus is. It's that region where Philippi is. And he began to go into that place. That man man that he saw in his dream would hold them in prison that night when they got to Philippi. And my friend would sit there and guard them in their jail cells until midnight came, when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and God rocked the jail with an earthquake, and his shackles and chains fell off. And that man Paul saw in his vision come springing in with a light, the Philippian jailer. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he got saved in his whole house. And he washed Paul and Silas' stripes that night. Woo! Oh, bless his name. I tell you, God will open the door. Come on in, church. The door is open.
When you see the opportunity to serve God, take advantage of it. There's production to be had. Paul said, "A great door and effectuals open unto me." In other words, in this place, there are men that needed to hear the gospel. And not only were there men that needed to hear the gospel, there were men or people that wanted to hear the gospel. Amen. One writer said that the tense of the root word for effectual signified being full of labor. Paul was saying that there was work to be done, but God had given the place to do it and the power to finish it. And he will, friend. Another writer said that Paul must have had in mind the Circus Maximus before the chariot races began. He was, as it were, a chariot racer, sitting at the starting block. The door to the arena had been swung open, and he was bursting through the gates with a message of salvation for all that would hear it. Hallelujah. I wonder, you anticipating how the Lord open a door for you like that. God, just open the door and I'll go through it. God, just open the door and I'll be a witness. God, just open the door and I'll tell somebody about you.
Amen.
My, my. We just need to get poised on the starting block, don't we? Get ready to run the race. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his sweet name. The description of the door, its prospects, its production. And then notice concerning this description, the position of the door. Paul describes the door by telling us of its position. He said, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me." The prospects of the production and the position of the door, it's opened. Now the position of the door matters a great deal. A closed door is more akin to a barrier than it is a passageway. A closed door is more akin to a hindrance than it is a hail. Amen. A closed door is more akin to a wall than it is an avenue for travel. Thank God. And God sometimes will put in your life some closed doors as well. And if he closes it, nobody can open it. But Paul said, presented unto him an open door. It was not a barrier. It was a passageway unto him sharing the gospel. Paul was not about to abandon the place where he was doing business for God so long as God kept the door open.
Amen.
Well, I believe it's about time for somebody else to teach that class. I believe it's about time now for somebody else to direct them songs. I believe it's about time for somebody else to cut the grass or clean the church. I believe it's just about time now for somebody else to pastor the church. Oh, God help us. As long as the door's open, you stay right there and don't abandon your post. Don't quit. Hey, what was it? Those soldiers said, "Don't quit your post, or your post is quitting you." Amen. Amen. That's right. I remember Brother Milby telling about being in the service and then heard the scuttlebutt about them. I'd be going, you know, to maybe to Germany or Korea, and some said they might be going to Hawaii. And he said, I was wondering which one it'd be. He said, "I figured it's probably going to be Germany." He said, "I ran in the captain one day down to PX and I asked him," said the captain, "I said, when we
even have to go to Germany. He said, what are you talking about, soldier? He said, well, I've heard this other rumors that we go to one place or another. He said, I don't know what you're talking about, soldier. Said, what were your last orders? He said, my last orders were to stay stationed here at Fort Knox until I got my next orders. He said, well, I guess you best ought to get back to your bunk and unpack your bags and keep doing your last orders until you get your next orders. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, when it comes to serving God, we're looking for the next thing. We're looking for the next door. And use the place that you have. Don't abandon your post. Keep doing what God told you to do until God opens another door.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I'd like to come spend a lot of time with you Corinthians, but I got to stay here for a while because this is where God's opened the door. Hallelujah. Well, fellow said, I sure would like to pastor that big church and be significant, be somebody that matters. Well, you might ought to just stay where God's opened the door. Amen. That's exactly right. And when God closes that door, He'll open another door. But stay as long as the door's open. Amen. That's exactly right. And God be the glory of the position of the door. And so we see the description of the door here. Then secondly this morning, I want you to notice the disturbance at the door. The disturbance at the door. He said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. We all face them, friend. Adversaries, enemies, opponents, oppositions. Sometimes it's from without the church. Sometimes it's from religious people. Sometimes it's from within us. Amen. But Paul requested prayer when he was writing to the Thessalonians, saying, and Second Thessalonians 3:1-2, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Oh, friend, your adversaries, the disturbance at the door, where God opens the door for you to serve Him, and your foe will oppose you. 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil roameth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, friend, how your foe will oppose you. Paul said, pray that the word have free course. That is, that it accomplishes its work and God's purpose unimpeded. And not unopposed, but unimpeded. I want you to hear this. If you don't hear much of what else I preach this morning, Paul was not praying that he do the work of God without opposition, but that the word would be unimpeded. Oh, friend, evil, unreasonable, and wicked men may oppose you, but when God opens the door, they cannot impede. They may oppose, but they cannot impede. As Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Revelation 3:8, he said, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Somebody said, my family don't like what I'm doing. My friends don't approve of what I'm doing. And the enemy, the devil, the old foe of eternity don't like what I'm doing. They may oppose, but they cannot impede. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You serve God while the door's open. You live for God while the door's open. You walk with God while the door's open. And God will see you through.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your foe will oppose you. Your family may oppress you. Isn't that right? Anybody remember 1 Samuel 1? Hannah's wanting to have a baby boy. She don't have any children. Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah has sons, but Elkanah has no sons with his wife Hannah.
See, the Bible said the Lord had closed up her womb. And every year in chapter number 1, verse 7 of Samuel, said that every year when they went to the temple to offer sacrifice unto the Lord, went to worship is what they were going for, to worship God, to glorify God, to praise God. They were going to have church, Brother John. And even though they were going to have church, Peninnah every year would oppress Hannah, the Bible said, and make fun of her because of her barrenness. And it made it so that it was difficult for Hannah to worship God. Oh, my friend, how she oppressed her because of her failure to bear children. Sometimes family members will distract you from worship over things that have nothing to do with why you even came to church to begin with. Somebody say amen right there. How sometimes it's your family members that are not lost in the world. Sometimes it's the ones that come to church with you. Are you hearing me? Did you see what so and so was wearing? Did you hear what such and such said? Did you? I think that preacher was preaching to you this morning. What do you think? I mean, they'll have you all tore up. They'll want to fuss about somebody's car. Somebody else's God hadn't got. Help them. Now I'm preaching right. And it'll hinder you. It'll smother your worship. And the very thing they're pressing you about has nothing to do with the reason you even came to church to start with.
Amen.
Amen. Well, my sister, brother, uncle, aunts, cousins, first neighbor wouldn't let me hold their children during church, and I'm mad and I'm not going back. Isn't it amazing how that you let family and friends and people, my friend, folks, oppress you while you're at the house of God? The Lord's just standing here with an open door, screaming, begging, pleading for you to serve Him, worship Him, live for Him, and you're distracted and oppressed by family. Stuff, things that are totally unrelated to why you even came to church in the beginning, my friend. God help us. God help us. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved by God's grace, you ought to attempt to facilitate the worship your family has more than anybody else. Amen. I mean, I may say amen whenever you testify or whenever your wife or husband testifies, but if my wife testifies, I'm going to encourage her on. Amen. If my little girls testify, pray, I'm going to pray with them and ag them on. Amen. I want to facilitate the worship of my family as best I can. My family's attempt to worship God. I don't mean folks are worshiping my family. Don't worship me or none of my family. But I mean, I want to facilitate my family's attempt to worship the Lord. And you should do the same. I mean, friend, hey, if you're going to pray for anybody, let me testify, it ought to be your spouse, your children, your brother, your sister, your family members. Amen, that's right. Hey, friend, oh, listen to me. I want my little girls praying for daddy when I'm preaching. I want my wife pray for me. A lot of times all she can do is wrestle with the babies. But sometimes I got to pray for her, wrestling with the babies. Is while I'm a preacher, we got to support one another, not oppress one another, hinder one another. You ought to help your family worship this morning. You ought to try to be a blessing to your family worshiping God. Some of you distract your loved ones so much at church, I mean, you just mess up the whole experience for them. Somebody says, well, I'll just stay home if I'm that much trouble. You don't need to stay home. You need to get right with God and start trying to be a blessing and a help to somebody. Quit worrying about quitting everything and start starting something. Amen. That's exactly right. Serve God. Live for God. Be a blessing. That's exactly right. Don't sit there through the whole service. How are you going to come and sit with your brother, sisters, aunts, cousin, a neighbor, whatever it might be? How are you going to sit there through the whole service going to come to be a blessing, you know? And you talk through the whole meeting, run your mouth like a motorboat. My thing with high test gas in it. Yeah. Oh, God, help us. Yeah. I mean, sit quietly. Yeah. If you're going to say something, say amen. Yeah. Maybe holler, seek Him, Jesus. Yeah. Have a quit talking and running your mouth. Yeah. And gossiping, my friend. Yeah. And quit carrying on conversations. Yeah. That are extraneous to the church service. Yeah. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah. And listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Yeah. And soak up all you can. Yeah. Open your eyes to the open door. Yeah. And come on. The door, friend, and serve God.
Amen.
Amen.
Your family will oppress you. There's a disturbance at the door. Anybody know what it's like to have a disturbance at the door? Your family will oppress you. Your foe will oppose you. There's a disturbance at the door. Your friends will obstruct you. Psalm chapter number 41 and verse number 9, this Bible said this concerning my friend Judas, who was Jesus' friend, his disciple, who betrayed him, as we preached on Wednesday night. Psalm 41 and 9 is a prophecy of it. Said, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Oh, we all face it from time to time. A friend that we thought was our friend pats us on the back with a knife in their hands, and we have to suffer through that. And if you're not careful, that will distract you, that will obstruct you, that will hinder you from serving God where God has opened the door. If Paul had felt that way, he'd have never got anything done. That's right. Friends forsook him. He took John Mark on a mission trip, and John Mark left him in the field. Went back home. Ain't that right? He started to go on another trip with Barnabas, and Mark was going to go along. Paul said, I ain't going if he's going. Barnabas said, well, I'll go with him. And Paul went with Silas another way. Paul ended up in prison, and he said, there ain't nobody here with me except Luke. All the rest of them have forsaken me. Said, what I'm doing, went back to Thessalonica where he lived before he ever even got saved. What are you going to do? Matter of fact, he got to the place one night where he said, all men forsook me that night, notwithstanding, this 1 Corinthians, or 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me that night. Nobody stood there, even the apostles, Peter and the rest of them that were still alive in Jerusalem. They didn't stand by him that night. They had to arrest Paul to keep him from tearing him in half. Have that evening, friend. His friends have forsook him. His friends, my friend, didn't stand by him. His friends obstructed him. And if he'd just given up the call to the disturbance at the door, he'd have never served God. I wonder today, are you experiencing a disturbance at the door? Or some obstruction, some oppression, or some opposition, some difficulty? Let me tell you, the opposition is great, but the opportunity is greater. Or serve God, friend. Opposition may be present, but you must pass through the door. All of you may not appreciate this, but those of you that like football will. You ever thought about being the little running back in the backfield, and them 300 pounders is in front of you? The big boys. The boys that's been fed well while they've been putting you on a diet to make you lean, mean, fast. They've been feeding these boys everything they can stand so that they can be good at obstructing. Good at getting in the way. Now the quarterback takes the snap. He calls your number and he hands you the ball. And you look ahead of you and there's an opening of 18 inches. In between all of those 300 pounders, there's an opening. There's 18 inches of daylight. There's a door that's been opened, but to get through it, you're going to have to squeeze your way through all them 300 pounders that's wanting to rip your head off whenever you do it. I tell you, that's the way it is serving God. My friend, you're facing opposition that's bigger than what you are, that's stronger than what you are, that's more determined than what you are, and you don't have but 18 inches is a daylight sometimes, friend, to get through. Oh, but thank God, if you'll take off for the target, if you'll make a run for the door, I'm glad God will enable you. The opposition may be great, but the opportunity is greater. Would you serve God? Press on, weary pilgrim. Press on, amen. Oh, it won't be long. It won't be long to the floodgates is going to open. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, it won't be straight as a gate. And there is a way, friend. That's why we're yet here. Those are the things that lead unto life. But I tell you, when we get there, there'll be 12 gates standing wide open for us. Hallelujah. And Jesus on the inside. Oh, yeah.
just press on. We're a pilgrim. Press on. Serve God in the face of opposition.
Your children may not understand. Your family may not understand. Your mom and dad may not support you. Just press on. Just press on. Well, I'm finishing with this. I told you to give you three things and a few things about the things. Here's number three. The description of the door, the disturbance at the door, and then finally, Brother Bob, there's a disciple before the door. Paul said, a great door and effectual. Notice this. Is open unto me. Hallelujah. My, my. Now it's one thing for God to touch some of these men that I have such great confidence in. And I watched as I listened as Brother Pace preached in such power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost a couple of weeks ago down here at Five Points. And I mean just preached, tore the house down. Preached, I'm telling you, with God evident all over him. That's one thing when I watch those men like Charles Dixon and Helen Milby and Vernon Willis, and I see God touch their lives. That's one thing to me as a boy to have listened to preachers like Mays Saxon and Billy Kelly and God to have used him and opened the door. But it's altogether different to think and to realize this morning that a door is open unto me. Amen. Oh, God lets you serve. He'll let you personally serve. He'll let you presently serve. He'll let you powerfully serve. And he'll see to it that you prayerfully serve. Amen. But I tell you, God will open up a door unto you. Oh, my, my, my. You say, I can't preach. If you ain't called, you sure can. And even if you think you can, if you're not called, you better not. Amen. But I'll tell you what God has put for you to do. What the Lord has scheduled for you to do. Just do it faithfully. I mean, it's your door. It's your place. It's your role. It's your ministry. It's your calling. Would you do what God wants you to do? I mean, find your door and go through it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, my. Paul looked at this door and he saw through that door that he was chosen. He said, you know what? That ain't Peter's door. That's not Andrew and John's door. That's not James' door. That's my door.
Woo!
Oh, my. Coming this morning, if you could see your door, I tell you, I think what the preacher ought to do is so and so. I think that deacon ought to do it. Oh, if you get your eyes off all that, and if you'd see your door this morning, I know what I must do. I know what I need to do. I realize what my role is. I wonder, do you know what your door is this morning? Have you seen your door? Have you realized you're chosen? Others could not do what Paul had been chosen to do. It was his door, his opportunity, his ministry, and his responsibility. Somebody else can teach my Sunday school class. Not if it's your class, they can't. That's your door. They may fill the office, but they can't teach your class. Somebody else can pastor the church. I used to say to myself, I don't know why folks come here to preach. Somebody else can pastor the church better than I can. One day I came to realize, but Scott, they can't nobody pastor Truth Baptist Church like I can. Not because I'm the best, but because this is my door. This is my place. This is my ministry. This is where God put me. And nobody can do what you're supposed to do the way you can do it, because God put you there. I mean, he's chosen you. He's chosen you. And get in your ministry. Get in your door. And stay at your post.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
He looked at the door and he said, you know what? This is not a career. This is a calling. I've been chosen of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, my. Brother Bob, would you ever dream? Brother John, would you ever dream? Brother Scott, would you ever dream? You, brothers and sisters and ladies and gentlemen, would you ever dream? that God would have just chosen somebody like you to do what He wants you to do. Now, somebody else might have looked at you from the outside, not knowing you well as what you knew yourself, and said, "Now that's the one the Lord's going to use." But you knew things about you that they didn't know about you. Amen. Oh, my. Did you ever imagine when you're in the deepest sin and the niceness and naughtiness of your heart was great before your eyes? Did you ever imagine when you're wallowing in guilt? And my friend, if the Lord had ever used somebody like you, oh, but thank God, when I look at the door this morning, I see it open unto me. I feel the drawing of God to do the work of God. I realize it's my door. It's my place. It's my ministry. It's my responsibility. And I want to do what God has called me to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God called me to preach when I was 13 years old and been saved. Hadn't been saved about 6 months. Matter of fact, less than that, before when He started dealing my heart, I'd been saved about 2 months. He started stirring my heart to preach. August or so, early August. By the time that October had come around, I had all I could stand. I kept saying, "Lord, I'm just a kid. They won't nobody listen. There's no reason for me to even try. There'll be another day, there'll be another time. Maybe someday, but not now. That won't work anyway." And God kept pressing on my heart. I had to do what He had bid me to do. Oh, my. And there's a lot of folks that laughed, and some had made fun. A lot of the boys and girls didn't think too highly of it. And growing up, some had made a mockery of it. Some said, "It won't last anyway. It's just a fad. It's just one of them things." Some said He's just trying to be like His granddaddy. It's what it is. And to those of you who knows my granddaddy knows I don't preach nothing like my granddaddy. I love him and he preaches good. We're just different. Everybody's an individual. Our style, our delivery, our manner of preparation, nothing's the same. I learned a lot from him on how to deal with people. But in terms of my preaching, not anything like his. That's just not the way God called me. I'm not trying to be like anybody this morning. I just want to be what Jesus wants me to be. He gave me an open door. I don't want to be faithful in the place where God has put me for Him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. An open door. The disciple before the door, he looked at the door and he saw, "I'm chosen." He looked at the door and saw he was challenged. There are many adversaries. This thing's bigger than what I am.
Amen.
I can't do it by myself. I need the help of the Lord. Help me out now. I've got to have unction from another world. Brother Matthew prays when he prays for the preacher. And I've heard him use these words. God, give him unction and give him utterance. And that's what we'll have to have. Unction and utterance from another world. Paul said, "I've got to have help. There's a lot of adversaries. I'll need Jesus with me."
Amen.
He was challenged. He was not unaware of the challenges. But he wasn't scared off by the enemy either. Amen. He was the disciple before the Lord. He saw he was chosen. He saw he was challenged. And finally, I'm closing this morning. He saw in that door he is committed.
Thank God.
You know what I believe Paul must have thought when he saw that open the door? If I go through that, there's no turning back. If I begin, there's no place to stop. If I make one step through the door, I've got to keep on going. And I'm going to tell you this morning the same. If you'll serve God, then serve the Lord. If it be so, if it seem good to you to serve the Lord, then serve God. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then serve the God your father served on the other side of the river. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've gone through the door this morning. Jesus is the door. I've gone through the door. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I know what it is to access the door. Hallelujah. And now there's no place to stop. Now there's no place to quit. Now there's no place to give up. I'll just go on with God. Hey friend, I'm a going through. I'm a going through. I'm telling you, I want to serve Him, stay with Him, live for Him. Oh, thank God in verse 8 He said, "But I will tarry." I wonder when you say those words, while the devil wants to run me off from my post, while the
miss me. I will tarry. I'm staying put. I'm not leaving my place. I'll stay in this open door. I wonder this morning, hey, by the way, notice he said, and verse number 8, I will tarry at Ephesus until, and by the way, you can just stop right there, until the Lord says go, until the Lord closes the door, and then he'll open another. I mean, just tarry until, and stay until, come in until. I wonder, will you stay? Will you labor? Will you work? Will you commit? Will you serve? Will you live for God? How many of you have the tenacity to get committed to the service of the Lord?
Do you realize this morning you've been chosen? Will you arise to the challenge? Will you commit yourself to go through this door? Well, the place you've been called to labor seems so small and little known, but it is great if God is in it.
Amen.
And He'll not forget His own.
Amen.
Little as much when God is in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, you don't understand. Nobody'd even notice it if I was to quit. Oh, if it's your door, it's a great door. It's a great door. I'm not doing much good. If it's your door, it's an effectual door. If it's your door, I don't think God would even notice or care. If it's an open door, He opened it. He's paying attention. Oh, the God, the great universe, has His eyes upon the sparrow, and He's watching over you. Will you commit to go through the door?
Amen.
Come on in, church. The door's open. I'm finished preaching if you come with a song. I wonder this morning, when God gives you a door, what will you do with it? When He gives you an open door, what will you do with it? When He opens the door of prayer, what will you do? Will you pray? When He opens the door of praise, will you praise? I don't know how many times I've heard folks say, I should have testified this morning, but I didn't do it. I wonder, when the Lord opens the door of praise for you, will you praise? I had a man from Canada, some of you are familiar who I'm talking about, Brother Jim Ramsey, to Canada this week. I talked with him. And he said, Brother Toby, said, I sure would love to come and stay down there with you guys. Said, I'd like to have some of that cornbread. And he said, I'd like to have some grits. Said, we don't have grits up here. Said, it'd be nice to have grits and southern fried chicken. He said, I don't look forward to them summer days with that heat and humidity. Said, that stuff nearly kills me. But said, I'd like to eat that good food. And he said, Lord knows I'd love to get amongst you while you worship. Said, I don't get to have that up here in Ontario, Canada. Said, we haven't got it. But he said, I put in the CDs of your preaching and your singing. Had to listen while I ride down the road. Had during the winter, he said, in my snow plow. And I'm plowing these streets up here. He said, when y'all sing, I sing. When you preach, I say, amen. When it comes altar call time, I pray. Hey. He said, I just love to be there. He said, one of these days, my wife and I are saving up our money. And said, we're going to come to the camp meeting. And he said, I hope you allow testimonies in your church. Because he said, I got years worth of testifying I need to do. That's all built up in me. And said, my wife up here is the only one who gets to hear it. But said, we sit around the table on Sunday morning. We wait for 11 o'clock to come. When it does, we turn on the computer. And we listen to your preaching. And we open our Bibles and we cry and we weep. And we pray and we shout, we say, amen. And he said, some of these days I'm going to come down there and be in church with you and tell you about it. I'll tell you, when God opens the door of praise, what are you going to do with it this morning?
Amen.
When He gives you an open door of preaching, those of you that's preachers, you don't have them here this morning, I believe, bless God. When He gives you an open door of preaching, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I just don't feel good.
Yeah,
I got a little toe ache. My hair's been sore. God, help us to preach when God opens the door of preaching. What you going to do when God opens the door of power? You going to be scared off by the power of God?
are you going to access every bit of it He has for you?
Amen.
A great and effectual door has been opened unto us. I wonder this morning, while the door's open, would you come on in? Stand your feet if you need to pray this morning, would you come? Sister Tanya's going to sing for us. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, open door in your life that you need to access. Whatever you need to do, I wish you'd be obedient to the Lord this morning. Some are already coming, others need to. Would you pray? Would you serve Him with your whole heart? Would you serve Him with your whole heart? This morning, you better find your way to this altar and get to know the Lord while the door is open, because when He closes it, no man can open it. Sing that song. I've heard quartets all over the country sing that song. Florida Boys. I've heard them in choirs and camp meetings sing that song. I've heard the Rollins sing it. Carl Partain sing it. Sister Tanya does a wonderful job on it. But my little granny used to sing it like nobody else I ever heard sing. Not because she had a prettier voice. Tanya's got a prettier voice than my granny ever had. And them notes on that verse was about as high as what she could reach. But somehow or another, you just could feel the joy in her heart when she'd say that second verse. The joy, I can't explain, fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. And the blessed Holy Spirit is guiding my way. I'm walking, trusting, and I'm learning to lead. My. She never sung but two songs. All she ever sung was How Great Thou Art, Learning to Lean. But somehow or another, the way she'd sing that last verse, and it is real, it is genuine to her, the joy that fills my heart. Oh, listen, friend, the adversaries, the disturbances at the door don't have to let you live in misery, but you can rejoice evermore. You can rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. The same Paul that wrote the words, there are many adversaries, is the same one that said, this is a great and effectual door that's opened up unto me. I mean, that joy I can't explain. I'm glad I'm in the service of the Lord. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad God called me to be an old-fashioned, pile of believing, sin-hating, a hellfire, brimstone preacher. preacher. I'm not ashamed to be an old time Christian. The joy that fills my heart has, my friend, filled my soul since the day I made Jesus my King.
Glad I'm saved. I wonder this morning if you obeyed the Lord in the meeting today. Done what the Holy Ghost of God in heaven would have you to do in the service. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Well, tonight we'll meet at 5 o'clock choir practice. Meet all of you that can sing with us to come. If you can't sing but you'd like to try, I'd like you to come. Then you can be like most of the rest of us. Amen. 5 o'clock, come and help us. Worship service at 6. We'll pray before the service tonight. You ask God's blessings on the meeting Wednesday night. Questions in the Bible. Wasn't this went last Wednesday night a blessing to be in the house of the Lord? Lord, is it I? Is it I? If the Lord lets me, the Lord lets me this coming Wednesday night, I'm going to preach on one of the most confusing questions in the Bible. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hope you can come, be a part of the meeting. If the Lord lets us, give us liberty, that's where we're going this Wednesday night. Take some time now to fellowship one with another. Pray, but hey, next Sunday, be sure to plan on that breakfast. Sunrise service and breakfast and all. Matter of fact, what do you think, Brother John? Would it disturb you, or you think that y'all would be too loud, or whatever? We had the service out in the fellowship hall for the breakfast and all. That way our cooks get to hear the preaching. But about time, matter of fact, I'll just preach as long as they cook. When they give me this sign here, I'll finish up preaching. Amen. So you come, be a part of the meeting on next week and help us. Listen, women, don't get up early and start making biscuits and all that business and whatever else. We're going to have food. Just come on to the house of God. Worship the Lord. Let some of these men do something once in a while. That'd do us some good. And then we'll let you clean it up. Amen. Thank God. So, but really, come to the house of God. I know you got your young'uns and kids, grandkids and all this stuff. Some of you's got meals that afternoon that you're fixing for. Don't kill yourself on Easter Sunday morning. Come to the house of God. Everybody's got a little role to play. So you come to the house of God, be a part of the meeting. It'll be such a blessing to be a part of those services, all right? If Brother John needs some help, he and Brother Bob, if they need some help with the cooking and they recruit you, you just help every way that you can. They'll help you. They'll recruit you if they need you now. They're going to look at their numbers and how many eggs that they can break and whatever else. And if they need some help, they're going to recruit you. So if they recruit you, you'll be willing to help. Otherwise, don't worry about food. Just come on and eat, enjoy yourself, and be a part of the worship service and a good meeting on next Sunday, all right? Fellowship one with another. You can be dismissed now. I appreciate so much coming today.